The Lord's laid this on my heart. I'm going to try. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah tonight. To the book of Nehemiah. We've got a mind to work. And I want to show you what God did with these people in the book of Nehemiah. Probably won't be too long. Just going to go through some scriptures and look at the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, we talked about it, was the king's cupbearer. And he got news of what is happening in Jerusalem and what Jerusalem looked like. And he wanted to go back and restore the walls. Go with us to Nehemiah 4:6. He wanted to build back the walls and restore back Jerusalem. And here's what it says in Nehemiah 4:6. Amen. Thank you, Joan.
How do you spell the book of Nehemiah?
N-E-H-E-M-I-A-H. You know how you spell that? Because it's right here in front of me.
All I thought was the N.
N-E-H.
N-E-H-E-M-I.
A-H. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm. It's before. We're looking at Nehemiah 4:6 right this second. Then we're going to be all over the book here at the beginning of the book. We're going to look at what they did, what God did with these people. Nehemiah 4:6. He said, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And that's what a church needs. In order to succeed, in order for a church to be able to do something for God, whether it's physically, financially, or spiritually, they need a mind. People have to have a mind to work and to want to do what needs to be done here. When people see that there is a need for something, they're more likely to give. Just like, you know, all those commercials you see on television for the kids over in Africa and everything like that. I'm not knocking that. But what do? They show you pictures to try to get you to understand, to persuade you to give to their cause. And I think as we're getting into this now, a little over a year into the church, and people here now seem to want to have a mind to work. Those that have gotten saved, I think it's been a big help. But that's what we need as a church. We need people to have a mind to work, to be able to do something. You know, a pastor cannot do it all on his own. Our family cannot do it all on their own. As we start out, a lot of times they are, and I'm thankful we've not really been alone. We've been blessed from when we first started the Bible study, and those that have been with us, and those that have been with us now from the start of the church last year at Father's Day, those that have joined since, and what God has done. And so I'm thankful. I told Brother Tim, I said, man, they seem to really have a mind to work now. Some things is going on. God's working in some lives, and people are wanting to do something. And that's what it takes for a church to succeed. There's a verse in, and I didn't look it up, but God just struck my heart with it. In the book of Proverbs, you can look it up. It said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's true on two senses, as far as if a church has no vision, the community out is going to die and go to hell because nobody's reaching them. And also in the church, if nobody has a vision in the church is going to diminish. It's going to shrink up. With so many churches in this county and in this area, especially here in Kansas, that are shrinking, I'm thankful and thank God that we're able to, in this short period of time, to do what God's blessed and have what we have. And it's because people want the truth, and because people now have got the truth, and so they've got a mind to work. In verse 21, chapter 4 here, verse 21, he said, so we labored in the work. And so that's what we need. We need people laboring. A pastor cannot do it all. I know men, and if I was looking for amens, I know that I'd probably just shrivel up and die. But I'm thankful for the ones that I do have now. But I know men that they'll get up and they'll say, you know, it's going to take me twice as long to preach this message if I got to do all the amen too. And they'll sit down and say, amen, preacher, amen. And they'll stand back up and they'll start preaching. And there's guys out there that'll do that in some dead churches. But I'm thankful that y'all, that many of you have caught on some of these things. I know that we're... I don't like that term, but I know that we're different. I want to be different. And listen, what's been around here is not working. And so it's not winning people to Jesus. It's not seeing souls saved. Many of the churches here are drying up because they're just doing the same old thing. You know how that term, the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome. And that's what a lot of people think, that they're just going to do that. It's going to somehow miraculously do something different. But it's not, man. And I've tried to be nice, and I try not to be too controversial, but preaching the Word of God is going to be controversial to people. Many people that have come in, they left not because some people may tell you, well, he's loud. I don't like how loud he is. And listen, it ain't because I'm loud. It's because you don't like what I'm preaching. If you're saved, you'd love it, man. I'm telling you, you ain't been in the loud yet. Wait till we get you going to some meetings. You'll find out what loud is. I get Brother Banks. I'm trying to get my pastor to get Brother Banks to come out here. I told him we can't do much for him, but I'd love for him to come out here. And he wants to see the West again and visit. And I'd love to have Brother Banks come out here. And Brother Banks, man, now he just lays it down. Brother Banks is under, and I'm under the same persuasion, but I'm a little bit nicer. Brother Banks is under the persuasion. He says, where are you going to drive people to? Hell number two? They're already on the road to hell, but we think if we don't offend them, then somehow we're just going to win them. And he believes that, and I believe that he believes it, and I believe that too. But also know that you have to be sensitive to people. But he says here, we labored in the work. And that's what it takes to get something done. We have to labor in the work. We have to have a mind to work. Turn back to Nehemiah chapter 2. We're going to be back and forth through these first 4 or 5, maybe 6 chapters, looking at these verses. And here in Nehemiah 2, verse number 5, Nehemiah has gotten he's gotten word from home. He's the cupbearer of the king, and he's gotten word that something's happened, and the Judea, the walls are broken down in Jerusalem. And he asked the king here, and this is what he says, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. And so part of the work is to see what needs to be done, and to see that something does need to be done. You know, we're seeing so much change in America right now, and so many people that think that things we need to try. What we need to do is just we got to try something new, or we got to no. Jeremiah says, "See and ask for the old paths." Is what, and that's what we're to do. We saw what worked, and America's not been perfect at any time. America's never been perfect. It's always had its imperfections as a country because it's made up of us imperfect people. You could write a perfect document, and people still ain't going to follow it. That's just like one of the founding fathers said, the only way that America could keep the freedoms that we have is that by being a Christian nation. The reason that we do have the freedom of press and the freedom of speech and those types of things is because those were Christian men, despite what many people say. And even those that may have not been Christian as far as going to church regularly, they were God-fearing people. And they had enough sense not to say some of the garbage that people say nowadays. And so we don't need to look for something new. We need to return to the old paths, to the Word of God, strictly to that, and build back the walls. God says, I sought for a man. He didn't seek. He's not looking for a group of people. He's just looking for one person that wants to do something for God. And I believe we've got multiple people here. So I believe we can do a work for God just like Nehemiah did. It was just one man that got under a burden to want to see God do something and build. So he worked.
Number two, he built. He wanted to build. Go here in chapter 2, verse number 17 and 18. Verse 17 and 18. He said, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." That's what we have to be able to build something, do something. We have to acknowledge that there is a need. Just like what we're trying to do right now, we acknowledge that people are giving, that there's a need for a church sign. That's a church sign out here. I'm thank God for the one we've got, but it is decaying. It does. The bottom board has rot in it. And so it's better to go on and do it now while we can before we come in one Sunday morning or during the week on Tuesday and the wind snapped it off or blow it over. So, and just like the building out here, we saw that it was in need, termite damage, and it was in need of replacing something bigger so that we could let God bless us. And before we even laid one bit of concrete, with just the thought of doing something here and adding a bigger building, because I want God to bless and give us a lawnmower, or us to be able to buy a nice lawnmower, God turns around and gives us a lawnmower for exactly what I had in mind for the building. And so that's the way God is. If we'll step out by faith, He'll lead and give us these things. And so we got to want to build. He says here, "They be burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, rise up, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." And that's what I'm thankful of. When I said it, people have already started giving, and people are calling me up. Can we do something? What can we do? How can we help? And so that's what we have to be able to do as a church, to be able to build and have a vision. Man, my thought is, again, what is it that you want to see done here? I mean, I want to see souls saved. I want to see the church pews filled. I don't even want to have to worry about using this as a fellowship hall. I'd love to be able to build a whole separate building, because we're packing this one out and either need to do something to build a sanctuary and turn this into a fellowship hall, or to build a separate fellowship hall. We should still be able to pack in. I mean, if we packed in for these many, I mean, we'd probably be able to pack in 90, 100 people in here. Praise God. That's what I want to have a vision. And that's what Nehemiah had. He had a vision. The walls were tore down. This took a long time to build up. Wait till we get back, if you've not read this book, and seen how quickly they built the walls back. These weren't even professional masons or nothing. These were just men and women that wanted to restore the walls of Jerusalem. And not only, he had the blessing of the king. The king gave him letters. If you read in chapter 1, we don't have time for sake of time, but if you read in chapter 1, in chapter 2, he asked the king for his blessing. And the king says, "How much time do you want?" And he said, "I'm going to give you whatever amount of time it is you want." And he says, as a matter of fact, he said, he even gave him some funds to help him do it. And he even told, and Nehemiah asked about lumber and timber. And he said, "Whatever you need, I'll give you letters for you to be able to do what you want." So he had the blessing even of the king to do that. And so you can look at it as he's a wicked king, or you can look at it kind of like the Lord. When you're doing the king's business, he's going to supply for that need. And so there in 17, 18, turn to chapter 4. He says in verse number 17, 18 of this chapter, he's talking about building. I love what he says here. Listen, don't think you can't do something. We used to, years ago, I can't remember. Did I meet the guy? I know I saw him. They had a guy that worked for Salem Electric that was a one-handed electrician. Now, if you've ever done pipe, you've ever seen some of the... You think, man, there ain't no way. They had a one-handed electrician that was good at what he did, and new ways of making channel locks. He put them up against something to make that one pair of channel locks hold while he tightened with the other, making up joints and all these different things. They said it was just incredible to watch this. Listen, where there's a will, there's a way. People will figure it out. Here in Nehemiah 4:17, he says, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laden, every one with his hands wrought in the work. There wasn't nobody just standing around. Everybody had a hand in it, and with the other hand held a weapon. Do you see that? There was other times they took turns holding weapons. But there's also times he said, while they're working, the enemies are coming, and they're laying mud or whatever they're doing with the trowel in one hand, and they got a spear or a sword in the other. Listen, when you've got a mind to build and a mind to work and to see that thing built, you can. He said, everyone with his hands brought the work. They did the work. And the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded. They understood the danger. But they decided that they were going to do what God had told them to do. All because one man, Nehemiah, got under a burden. He wanted to do something for God. Listen, man, I'm telling you, people need to have a mind to work. They need to work and build. He had a reason to. Turn with me to the chapter 1, Nehemiah chapter 1. He had a reason to. It's just one man that had a reason. He says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3, they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. You see that? They didn't just ransack it, man. They burned the gates so that they couldn't set them back up. And listen, so Nehemiah had a reason. He wanted to see something. He wanted to help these people back out. He said in verse 10, now these are the servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. He's praying to the Lord, and he's telling the Lord. He said, these are your people. You've put them there. These are your people, God. The Jews are the apple of God's eye. And they had sinned greatly. When you get into the Bible, you realize they had sinned. And even here in the book of Nehemiah, unfortunately, Nehemiah restores all this. And in just a matter of time, they go right back to their sin. Listen, don't let that discourage you, though. You do what God's called you to do. He's got a reason here. He's found out what's happened. And in verse 13 of chapter 2, it says, and I went out by night by the valley of, by the gate of the valley, chapter 2, verse 13, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, the gates thereof were consumed with fire. He said, I heard about it. I had a reason to go because it needed to happen. Somebody needed to go and encourage these people to build back. And in chapter 2, his reason was he saw for himself. How's that verse go? My eye affecteth my heart. But I can't remember how it goes right now. Oh, my eye affecteth my heart. What you see... Listen, God put us under a burden for La Crosse, Kansas, and God put us under a call, but it wasn't until we stepped foot in here the first time and I realized this is the place God wanted us that really my eye affecteth my heart. And that's exactly what happened. When I saw this place and saw the need was great to have somebody here and have a King James Bible preaching church, preaching the truth of the Word of God, and somebody that's not afraid. Listen, I'm not in a popularity contest. Most of y'all, I think, done figured that out. I'm not in this for a popularity contest. I could probably be nice and preach a whole lot nicer. I told you I was going to preach positive this Sunday. Don't you forget. I'm preaching a positive message. You tell everybody I'm preaching a positive message this Sunday. I'm positively sure that if you don't receive Jesus Christ for for remission of your sins, I'm positively sure you're going to die and go to hell because the Bible says it. So I'm preaching a positive message this week. So you can't say I don't preach positive.
Listen, I'm telling you, you have a reason now. You've seen what God's doing in this church. You see what God's doing, and that's what's caused you to have a mind to work. And some of you are excited and wanting to build because you're part of something that God's in. And some of you that God's just changed. Listen, you've got that reason to, just as Nehemiah saw that. And listen, don't get discouraged, because there's a lot still to get done. If you can't give right now to help towards these things, get your finances in order, because there's a bunch more that we'd like to do. We may be pouring concrete and building this building, but we're going to put this steeple on the building. We want to put a church sign out here. We still want to put a flower bed up this side right here to dress it up. And we still need to paint. This building's going to need painting. Hey, I'm not saying the building's not. I'm thankful for the building. Praise God. It's glad it's here. It'd have been a whole lot more expensive to build or to buy and renovate than what we're having to do, these few things we're having to do. We still got this building, this room right here to finish up. Some more molding in some of the other rooms to finish up. So we still got things that are going to have to be bought and things that we'd like to do. And so just keep a praying. Like I said, we'd like to, if God leads and God doesn't lead us to want to build a fellowship hall, we'd love to be able to put chairs in here so that when we have a dinner at Christmas dinner, that if we have 50 people, that's my vision for that. We had 39 this Christmas. Praise God. Surely we can get 11 more this Christmas. And unless everybody's just still living in fear, but the election will happen by then, so all this virus will magically clear up. But listen, we got work to do. We still got work to do. But man, if we do have 50 come Christmas, we're going to have somewhere to sit. Man, we's packed in here with 39. Praise God. I'm glad that's our record right now, but I'm ready to beat it. I'm not into numbers, but that's more people to be able to get under the preached word. That's what we want. You got a reason now to want to work and build. Listen, but I'm going to tell you right now, let me go ahead and let it be known right now. It's unfortunate, but you're going to be ridiculed. I'm telling you, people are, when you get in here and you get as fanatic as I am, and people find out more about me, they're going to be, man, why you go over to that crazy man? He's crazy. They're going to ridicule you just like they did Nehemiah. Turn with me to chapter 4. These are the people hanging around here at Jerusalem. Nehemiah's just come down. Listen, people are going to ridicule you. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. People are going to ridicule you. Why are you going down there? Man, he's crazy. We didn't hear about him. I had a lady the other day said, I didn't heard you as long-winded. Praise God. Thank goodness the testimony's getting out there. All right. I'm not sorry that I'm not no short-winded preacher. I know I can shorten up and put less in the message. I understand that. And I'm trying to. I really am, man. I'm just excited. I'm excited to be here and to see what God's doing. And I really am trying to shorten them down some, get them down to 35, 40 minutes. But it's hard for me, man. Some of y'all don't understand. I only get to preach 3 times a week. You hear that? Or twice a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or Tuesday night, we'll just do a Bible study, man. So I'm only getting preached twice a week. And then a little Bible study. That's why I'm preaching tonight, man. I'm excited. I may change it up, start preaching on Tuesday nights too. But that's why I'm praying about doing something else. I love preaching, man. As much as you love Joe, ready to get back there to that cafe, you love it. Man, I love preaching even more. I love being an electrician, but man, I love preaching even more. I love seeing what God does. As much as you love that bank, Barry, that's driving you all the way down there to Burnett all the time. I love to stand in the pulpit and proclaim God's word, man, and what God's doing. Those, they mock them. Turn over to chapter, I should have went to, go to back to chapter 2 real quick. I missed it. Chapter 2, verse number, excuse me, chapter 2, verse 10. Here's when Sanballat, the Hornet, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it. You see that? Do you notice anything about these two men? They ain't Jews. He's an Ammonite. Ammonite. They are, neither one of these are Jews. But what does it do when it says it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel? There's people right now that are grieved that we're here preaching the truth of the Word of God. I'm telling you, I know for a fact that there are people that don't like us being here. They don't like what God's doing because we're doing something for God. Not because I'm anything special. They ain't nothing. We are not doing anything here that none of these other churches couldn't do themselves. They just don't want to. They don't want to get up and preach the truth because they don't want to scare people off. They don't want to dedicate themselves to the King James Bible because they like to live in, we just want to welcome everybody. Listen, people are grieved that we're here. They're going to mock that we're here. You're going to hear it, man. You're going to hear it, man. I'm telling you, I told you. 2 years ago, before we got here, if you'd ask, could a church be planted here that preached against drinking, preached against sin, most of you in here probably would have said, ain't no way. I told somebody the other day, and maybe may have said it for the church, I don't remember, but I was looking online, some statistics at this county, and I don't know how true it is, but I feel that it's probably pretty close to being true. But it said in the 2012 statistics, there's only 5% of people in this county that didn't drink. 5% of people in this county that didn't drink. Now, if you drink, God will forgive you. But I'm telling you, it's a sin. It is a sin to drink. It is sin to drink alcohol. The Bible is very clear about that. Maybe I'll just sit down and preach every one of them 1 week so I can show you in case some of you still having trouble with it. If you're having trouble with it, you ought to come to this altar. Listen, God wants you to clean up your lives. Turn over to chapter 6 now. Here's what happens. Listen, they're ridiculing him. They were grieved that he showed up. They mocked the Jews. Go to chapter 6, Nehemiah chapter 6. Here's what they're doing now. Now that they're grieved and they've mocked him, now they're trying to get him to stop. Verse number 2, he says that Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of On. But they thought to do me mischief. They was wanting to do harm. They was wanting to stop him. That's what they want. They didn't want Nehemiah to continue the work. They want to stop him. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. When somebody tries to get you to ask you, why are you doing that? You just tell them you're doing a great work for God. Tell them you can't slow down. You can't stop. Why are you up there 3 times a week? Just tell them, man, you want to see God do something. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. They don't take no for an answer. I'm telling you. They don't take no for an answer. This wicked crowd out here, they don't like taking no for an answer. So that's why you and I shouldn't take no when we invite them to church for an answer. Listen, man, I don't want to go to church. You know I'm not into that kind of thing. You just keep praying for them and you just keep inviting them. They kept on, man. Here's what happened in verse number 7 now. They're going to give out a false report. It says that saying that they're going to give a false report that there's a king in Judah, and now it shall be reported to the king according to these words. They was threatening Nehemiah. They said, we're going to go to your boss. Nehemiah, we're going to go to your boss and we're going to tell on you. I've been there. I've had people lie about me. I've had people lie on the job site. When I was an electrician, man, I told you I loved doing it, but it didn't stop me from witnessing. I've had people lie to the people that I worked for. I've had people give false testimony against me. I mean, just absolute. I had one of my buddies came to me one time that I've grown up with, that I've known for a long time. Stacy, a lot of y'all hear me talk about him. Stacy came to me one time and he said, did such and such happen? And I said, no, not that I know of. He said, well, such and such told the guy that we worked for, the guy over the personnel, that I was doing this on the job site trying to get me fired. I'm telling you, man, when you try to serve God, people lie on you. they're going to lie on you. You better get ready. If you want to serve God, they're going to do the same thing. I've had my own family members tell lies about me. I mean, listen, Satan doesn't care who he can use to destroy you. He'll destroy you. He says, verse number 8, and then said I unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou fingest them out of thine own heart. He said, you're bringing it out of your own heart. You're the one saying this. You're the one doing that. And he says, afterwards, they said, let us, in verse 10, he said, let us meet in the house of God. They sent a false prophet to him. If you read down, listen, if you read that in context, he said, this is a false prophet. And in verse number 12, he says, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Nehemiah realized they just using the, they'll use religion. They'll come to you and say, well, you know, that preacher down there, he don't know what he's talking about. And they'll flip to some obscure little verse and they'll try to take it out of context. I've dealt with that before too. And listen, if you have a problem with that and you're having a problem, somebody tries doing that to you and you don't understand, you come to me and I'll walk you through it. I won't do something to misguide you. I've told you. My door's open here at the house. If you have a problem or question about what I preach, I am not above answering your questions. Again, we may not agree 100% on everything. We're not. Matter of fact, we're go ahead and say there's a 99.99% chance. We're not going to agree on everything. If we sat down right now, all of us, and we talked about heaven, guess what? We're going to have a little bit of a difference of opinion about what heaven's going to be like. It's just there, but I've told you, the fundamentals of the faith is what matters. That you believe in the Word of God, that you believe in the virgin birth, that you believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, that He's God in the flesh, that He died according to the Scripture for the remission of your sins, that He was buried, rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the fundamentals of the faith. For the blood atonement, you must believe in the blood. The Bible is very clear. He said that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I've had people that did not like the blood. They don't like a bloody religion. And I've had people, you believe in a bloody religion? Absolutely I do, because the Bible is very clear. All the way back in the book of Genesis, what had to happen? Because of Adam and Eve sinned, blood had to be shed. All the way in. Listen, you cannot read the book of any of the books, but you get into the book of Hebrews and it'll clear it up, because I've had people say they don't believe the blood of Jesus is anything. And I'm going to tell you what, Hebrews chapter 10 is very clear. He says that they're counting the blood wherewith they are sanctified an unholy thing. And man, it tells you better watch out for those people. And I've run into them. Listen, we got to get to, we want to rebuild. We want to see God do something here. You might as well know that people are going to ridicule you. People are going to make fun of you for being here. They're going to say, you think you're a Baptist now? You say, no, I'm just a Christian. And I believe He's trying to hold to the truth of the Word of God. Unless you don't believe I am. I want to dive into this real quick. I'm not going to have time to go into this tonight, but I'm going to tell you what, there's a message right here in rebuilding this walls. Turn with me to chapter 3. I'm going to go through these real quick, and I'm going to show you. You can highlight them if you highlight them, but there's 10 gates here that they had to rebuild, and they named every one of them. There is a message here. I was reading some stuff on this. And man, if I get the chance, I want to put this together, but for sake of time tonight, we're not going to. But verse number 1, it says they builded the sheep gate. That's the first one. That's important. You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of our sheep, Jesus Christ. They built that sheep gate for a symbolic first. That's the first one they built. And then like I said, I won't go deep into them. I'm not going to do really probably not much any of them. But if you get a chance, you want to highlight these and you can research it a little bit yourself. But it is a wonderful thing when you think about these gates. He built the sheep gate. Verse number 3 there, the first of it, they built the fish gate. For those of you who may not know, do you know what the fish is? The fish is a Christian symbol. When you see that, it's a Christian symbol. That's symbolic of not just Christians, but in particular, the disciples. What were they?
Fishermen.
They built, listen, I'm telling you, man, it's, when I was reading it, they built that fish gate. That's symbolic of the disciples. Jesus is that first gate. He gives the disciples the old gate in verse number 6. Moreover, the old gate. That's what we're to do. We're to repair and establish the old paths. Verse number 13, the valley gate. The beginning there, verse number 13, is the valley gate. Verse number 14, the dung gate. That's the one where you got to clean yourself up at, by the way. That's the dung gate. Some of you know what that is. Some of you kids probably don't know what that word is, but I'm pretty sure all you adults know what dung is. Verse number 15, the gate of the fountain in verse 15. That's the cleansing. After you go to the dung gate, clean your life out, you go to the cleaning there at the fountain. Verse number 26 is the water gate. No, it's not the political one. No, not one laugh out of that one, huh? The water gate, verse 26. Verse 28, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. And verse number 31, and I should have remembered how to say this. Verse 31, the gate, Mifkad, I think is how you say it. And it means something, and I done forgot what it was now. My brain just went out of, what was that? I can't remember now what that word means. But that word's got a meaning. You can look that up. I can't remember what it is now. Forgive me. Anyway, that's the 10 gates that they rebuilt. Go with me real quick. Now, let's go back to chapter 6. They're rebuilding. Chapter 6, verse number 15. Think about this. This is the wall all the way around Jerusalem at this time. Okay? Nehemiah chapter number 6, verse 15. At the end of it, they finished the work in 52 days. 52 days they rebuilt because the people had a mind to work. See what God can do when people have a mind to work and work together and coordinate. All they did was, and you can go through and read this, it's a really good book. All they did was they took their section, and that's what they concentrated on. Each man, each woman, they took their section, they concentrated on that. And in 52 days, they finished. In verse 16 it says, and it came to pass when all of our enemies heard thereof and all the heathen. You know, that's why I say the word heathen. And listen, if I offend you by saying that to some people, I am just joking. I'm not trying to offend you when I say it. I am just joking. I know I joke too much. But he says, all the heathen that were round about us saw these things, and they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. See that? They saw. Listen, people see. I get questions all the time, and people are seeing. And as we do these things, I hope it draws people in. Sometimes, at times, it takes stuff like that. Sometimes it takes stuff going on at the church for people to come in and visit, to see. Well, I just wanted to see. I mean, we've had people that just come and buy or whatever, and they say, well, I just wanted to see what it looked like on the inside. I saw what it used to look like. I want to see what it looked like on the inside. So come on, I'll give you a chance. Come on back, I'll preach to you. They perceived that this work was wrought of God. He says here in chapter 7, chapter 7, verse number 1, now it came to pass when the wall was built and I had set up the doors. What did he do? He set up the porters and singers and the Levites were appointed. He says, and that gave my brother Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. That's what our job is. Listen, we as church planters, God, listen, I don't want you to think that we're just going to open a banjo one day. We're definitely not going to ever do that, Lord willing. Our mission is to get here, to get this church planted, get it up, built up, and at the right time, turn it over to a faithful man that fears God. Now, God could change our minds because people have asked. God can. We know several church planters that stayed where they are. And if God decided to keep us here, I'd be happy to stay right here. I love this little town. But I'm going to tell you what God's doing here, God wants to do in some other towns too. And somebody's got to go. And so I'm thankful. I'm going to tell you tonight, I'm thankful for you people, that you men, women now that are wanting to step up and do stuff. There's still more that needs to be done. There's still more that needs to be done. Listen, as a church, when you're running a church, the work's never done. Somebody's got to mow the grass. Somebody's got to clean the church up. And I think that may be the next thing that I've thought about doing. I hadn't even talked to my wife about it. But maybe to help people want to step up and help take responsibility now that everybody seems to want to work and do things, maybe we can start once switching off. Everybody take a month to clean the church. I'll give a key now to I think every family in here has a key that wants to be a part of this. And if you don't, you're more than welcome to give them the key back. But, you know, we can start letting you. You want to clean the church? Be more than glad to let you clean the church. You want to mow the grass? I'd be more than glad to let you mow the grass. We even got a lawnmower now. Need to get a weed eater. Lord, this is, if you want to be a part of this is your church. I mean, we're here to help you build, just like Nehemiah. But eventually Nehemiah left and went back and left those people. And that's what eventually, like I said, that's what God's called us to do. And I'm thankful that you want to step up. It's not anytime soon. I don't know how many more years we'll be here, but we're not leaving, Lord willing, lest I just get out of sorts and out of God's will. I say that. I don't want to ever do that, but I'm just telling you, Brother Shepherd's taught me that our job as church planters here is not until a pastor is in place. And by the grace of God, it'll be a faithful man and one that fears God. Because, man, I want somebody that looks at the church the same way I look at it. He's not going to agree on everything. There'll be things that he'll preach that you'll say, well, hey, Brother Daniel didn't preach that, or he didn't believe like that exactly. I told you we ain't going to believe the exact same. But I do want somebody that fears God enough to honor the spending of the money, to how this church is run, to think, Do I really want to spend $5,500 on a sign when I'd much rather spend $4,000 on chairs? You know, even things like that. I want him to be somebody that's filled with the Spirit and faithful. That's what it takes. Somebody that's faithful. Listen, as time goes on, man, I want you to step up more. We want you to come for Sunday school. Because Lord willing, some of you, I'd like to be able to see you be Sunday school teachers and teach. So we want to step back on some of these things. We've talked about taking a trip back in November, but I can't do that. I can do that a little bit easier now because I feel like y'all are really starting to step up, and I appreciate that. And we just ask for more. God will give you the grace. God's going to supply for you. He's already told me. And I know I joked around with y'all and said, God's already told me. He's already supplied the money. It's in your pocket. But God's already told me, man, he's going to take care of these things. He's taking care of them. Just hold on. You know, eventually it's going to calm down. When we get a lot of these things done, it'll calm down some. I know it's a lot to ask you and throw it on such a small group. But just like Larnard, man, we're very happy and very impressed by y'all wanting to do something here. And so I'm thankful that you have a mind to do something for God, a mind to build, a mind to want to do this. And I'm seeing it a lot more this last month, and I'm thankful for that. My Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the fellowship this evening, bless the food we're going to receive to nourish our bodies, and thank you for supplying it. Thank you for these, God. Lord, as an answer to prayer, Lord, so many more prayers still to go through, but I'm thankful, God, that you've answered prayers, Lord, through just these last few months, especially, God. But, Lord, during this whole time, God, how this town's been prayed over. And, Lord, it had been prayed over long before we ever got here. And so we're thankful for that. And thank you, God, for the building, all that you've done here, Lord. Now I just pray that you would continue to supply, God, for these things that we'd like to do around here to make this place even better. And God, just continue to bring in visitors. Help us to get some visitors back in. And Lord, what to do, Lord, what else we can do to reach others in this area, Lord, this county and these surrounding us, to the glory of God. Bless, Lord, tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.